Du hører på David Lee Roth. Roth Radio på begynnelsen av morgenen. Sjokkerende stødig. You are listening to David Lee Roth. Roth Radio, first thing in the morning. Shockingly consistent.
Happy few, Roth Radio. Hey, don't forget RobinBakay.com, and I'm going to spell it because even I ruin it, B-A-K-A-Y. She's been our very specialist guest. I didn't even know that you were going to come do this, did you?
No, I packed for 3 days.
So did I.
And two of them were weekend days.
I took a look at the contract, I packed for two.
I bought more underwear this week than I ever thought I would.
Actually, I bought it for you, baby. More than I ever thought I would either. RobinBakay.com. You're going to come back and visit us, right? You want to do this thing?
I will certainly come back. Love to come back.
Well, what happened, folks, is that, something went conspicuously wrong, but perhaps not. We are guided by the provident hand, perhaps. Here, I can rationalize anything. We had no guests.
That is a gift of yours.
We had no guests. Like it said in the Bible, we got no guests. There's no guest list. You can't get in.
Which brings us back to the fact that nobody really has friends.
Which brings us back to that Paris Hilton is my new Buddhist philosopher hero. Heroine. Bad word for Paris. Robin Bakay, BAKAY.com. I called her up like 3 days before the first show and said, Robin, hey, come on. I know you as a friend, as a colleague, as a drinking buddy, and your husband, Nick, of course. And you all know, watch for Nick Bakay on the NFL Network. He's on the ESPN magazine. And he's the, what is he in the King of Queens? What's he doing there?
He's a writing producer on the King of Queens. He is always the voice of the Heffernan's television, if you watch the show.
Whose television?
The Heffernan's, okay. The King of Queens.
This is a massively popular kind of show.
In their eighth year.
And now you're competing with him.
He's also the voice of Salem the Cat on Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
This is like cultural icon kind of stuff. I thought I was up around the front bumper.
He bought me my fine bling off Salem. the love of my life.
He was also one of the voices of the Angry Beaver.
That is correct. He is Norbert the Blonde Beaver. On the Angry Beavers.
Coincidence, perhaps.
You think I haven't taken crap about that for the last 10 years?
Well, you're not going to take any from Roth Radio. Roth Radio, ruining it for everyone. And I called up Robin, and I said, come on, it's like 3 days in advance. And I said, maybe pop in for the weekend with Nick a couple weeks down line when we get our legs, when we get our little tempo here. Come on, I've never done radio before. I've been on radio 1,100 million times. But, in order to actually take the wheel of the helicopter without the instructor, very different. Like Paris Hilton would say in Buddhist, whatever. Robin packed for 3 days. I packed for two. I've gone on record. I'm going again. Cover me. Joel Hollander is a danger-loving visionary. Anybody who spends this much time working with me as an artist is a danger-loving visionary.
I can attest to that.
This is amazing. So, RobinBakay.com, RobinBakay.com. They hired me for my rooting ability.
You rooting around like a pig?
Oh, I took the Evelyn Woodhead SPED reading course. Roth Radio, we are so good to go here. You know what? Sometimes it comes from above. You pull out page six, like on a Monday, everybody is still claiming that it's all allegations. The stories aren't in. Everybody still has a hangover. But come around the end of the weekend, you go right to page six here, and it provides you sometimes priceless. The whole Paris Hilton issue is worth the whole show, inarguably, right?
We could do 4 hours on her easily.
Easily. And that's why, we're playing this kind of music in the background. Go ahead and start it one more time with the car crash, because I think I have another down here in the corner. Page six coming out of the post here, where the news is the news on Roth Radio. New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm. Okay. step aside, James Fry. He's the author of A Million Little Booklets. There's an... Did I screw that up on purpose? We'll be back with more Oprah after this. There's a new literary whipping boy in town. Former Kitty star Macaulay Culkin debut novel, Junior, gets trashed in Kirkus Review next month. Not that he's accused of making stuff up, but with Junior, it's an audaciously empty mishmash of poems, letters, comics, etc. Culkin has managed to lower the already low bar set for celebrity fiction, filled with jokes lacking wit, introspection devoid of insight, poetry music made of nothing. This is work frustratingly short on substance. He's going to be a morning radio show host. This guy could go into action movies. He could be a director for television. He could be a president. Well, let me say that again with a little exclamation point. He could be a president. Let me try one more time for Hutch's benefit. He could be a president. It's okay. Hutch doesn't vote.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, but not here, not in this country.
Yes, I do.
Does Macaulay Culkin have enough of an adventure to even fill a book?
Oh, he's had a lot of adventures. You know, he was one of the Michael Jackson kids.
What do you mean he was one of the Michael Jackson kids?
He hung out with Michael Jackson for quite a while, and he was called into the trial, the most recent trial, and he did stand up for Michael Jackson. But the fact is, when he was a very young boy, there are many, many photos of him holding hands with Michael and with Bubbles, the chimp. And
you think he ever closed the deal, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't have that impression.
He was certainly Michael's type. And but, you know, but he says he didn't, and I kind of feel bad.
Do you think he actually wrote the book himself, or did he get a ghostwriter?
Well, it sounds like... it sounds like the book's going to be a disaster, so I'd say he probably did write it by himself.
I got to question this. Come on. I related the story to you earlier this week that I'd read about Naomi Campbell when she put out her autobiography that was supposedly she had actually written by herself. And that was a big point of issue there, you know, because many, many people use a ghost writer. And then, like, even Bill Cosby has been accused of this. And then you just sign your name onto an already finished tome, if that's even the word.
It is the word.
Well, tome is a book word. Anyway, somebody started asking questions, plot points that were not in her book. They started using plot points from Huckleberry Finn, you know, and they started using... Oh, yeah. And they started using plot points from Star Trek episodes, you know, like she didn't recognize it. And so she started answering the questions affirmatively. You know, is it true that if another invaded and then the captain would know that Bones, the doctor, you know, if any go down the river in the raft? Oh, yeah. But that was in England. And you know, there was allegations were made, you know, and so there was invective. Acrimony. These are book words. Later on, a couple of weeks later, an actress, a substantial actress like a Sarandon or a Glenn Close or somebody like this wrote a book. And Naomi asked her, wow, who did you get to write it for you? And the actress replied, well, I wrote it myself. Who did you get to read it to you? Well, there's no funny unless somebody slips on the banana peel. D-Row, talking New York, yo, Philly, Dallas, Boston, yo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. Tommy Lee is never going to write his own book, do you think? No, really.
I'll write it for him.
Well, no, he's more of a video character. He's like legitimately, you know, a television kind of thing, because I have a thing here in the news as well. Tommy Lee has recorded a version of the 1972 OJ's hit Love Train. And this is going to serve as the end title song for Final Destination 3. What is Final Destination 3? Do you know?
Isn't it a Star Trek thing?
You're kidding.
No, I have no idea.
That's got to be a Star Trek
sounds
thing.
Like it.
Because when they told me I was coming up into this studio, you know, they said New Frontiers. And I thought, now that we're here, this is Final Frontiers. This is the...
Oh, it's a people cheating death movie is what the...
Really? Why would they use Final Frontiers? That obviously has a Star Trek reference. Are you even looking at the right thing on the internet? Are you even looking at a computer?
I'm getting...
I can't...
I'm stalking the brain of somebody in the booth behind me.
Bad choice.
I'm getting code from the booth.
You'd have more room to move inside of Paris Hilton's skull pan. Okay, Tommy Lee recorded a version of the 1972's OJ's hit. He's active. For a guy who really doesn't do anything for a living, he's constantly moving. He's constantly grooving. He's my new Buddhist hero philosopher. It used to be Paris Hilton.
When's he and Paris going to be a couple?
Good font. The Mind Fairly Real.
Play it up, baby. Play like Tommy Lee runs into Paris, baby.
Get it? Join us now when Tommy Lee finds himself in Paris. Get on the love train, hot stuff. He is my new Buddhist hero because he lives a life that is free. He wanders like free. You're a dog lover. We argued about this.
Yes, we did.
But I will maintain this as well, and I'm saying this legitimately and honestly to you. The greatest Buddhist lessons, truthfully, can be learned from Paris Hilton and Tommy Lee. But beyond all of them, when you combine the two, what do you get?
About 75 pounds.
Exactly. How much does your house pet weigh?
60.
Okay. The greatest Buddhist lessons of all can be learned from a Labrador Retriever. Seriously. Think about it. Dog loves everything forever, thinks like in terms of forever. Doesn't look forward, doesn't look backward. Feed a dog, no matter how much you feed them. They finish the bowl, look up and go, I thought we were going to eat forever, baby. You go for a walk, doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter where you left from. Doesn't matter where you got to. Get back home, dog looks up and you can go, baby, I thought we were going to walk forever. You go, no, we're going in the car. Go, fine by me. You get in the car, sticks his head out the window, says, we're going somewhere. You go, know where we're going? Says, dog, don't care. Just love the air. You going home? Who cares? He's with you. Is that not Buddhist?
I can't argue that.
Well, that's what you get if you combine Paris Hilton and Tommy Lee. That kid. Tommy Lee wanders like that, right? What is more adapted to culture today than the Labrador Retriever? Wanders into the middle of the room. Here looks good. Wait a minute. I think I heard something over by the light socket. About an hour, I'm going to go check it out. Maybe. Hey, there's a lot of Far Eastern religions that spend a lifetime trying to perfect exactly that kind of a thought process, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. We practice these things without even knowing it. We read these things for Paris. We laugh at it, but you're learning also along the way. Think about it. Have you ever been driving? And you're along the BQE or you're on, the Pacific Coast Highway, whatever. And suddenly you realize, you take a start. You startle yourself. And you go, wow, I can't remember anything I've seen for the last 15 minutes. Yet, somehow you've negotiated every turn. You did the overpass, the interchange. You haven't crashed the car. You adjusted the radio. You fixed your seatbelt. You put out the cigarette, took a sip of coffee, thought about something entirely unrelated and answered the phone. How did you do that? You were totally unconscious of anything that you just did for 15 minutes. A lot of Far Eastern religions spend a lot of time sitting in the lotus position somewhere outdoors trying to achieve that exact same frame of mind. We do it in our cars all the time.
I love that stuff. Is that like muscle memory or something? Like how do you do that? And you're right, we do it all the time.
Well, you can't just do it thinking about nothing. You can't just sit and go blank. There is no such thing. Even the folks who just sit in the whatever you call that position, when you kneel,
yeah, lotus
or the lotus position or whatever, they're concentrating on their breathing. When you get in your car, you're concentrating on everything going by. It's called moving meditation. And that's the most effective kind. You get into our little, most of you are listening to us in the car right now. That's a self-contained little meditation environment. I look forward to traffic now. It's the only place I can turn off the phone. Sound goes away. I get into a jam. Too bad for you. Take the wristwatch off. Get lost in the latest Paris Hilton memory. And turn up the music and it sounds just like this inside. I wrote a book. And what I did mostly was put it down on paper. And also, I got a really great gal to sit with me from Princeton. A really smart, great-looking gal. See how I engineered this?
Somehow there's always a smart, great-looking gal in your stories.
And I told her stories for 3 months. Really, truly. Henry Rollins set up the book deal. We didn't even go through a normal agent. You know, I called up Henry and said, hey, let's do it. You know, it's a story here. There's something, you know, to be had. Excuse me. At least I got my health, huh? Well, that was a hard book to write. Well, here comes the next 30 summers. You want to get on the Love Train, Lies? Because Tommy Lee just did a version of the Love Train. And his voice is not bad. On the last single, Good Times or
Good
whatever.
Times. Great song.
And yeah, and a really good voice there, surprisingly. Usually when the drummer leans in, it's like, bass solo. Oh, no. Drum solo. The only two words worse than drum solo is band meeting. Okay, a shout out for Tommy, but done in a Wilson Pickett type of style, babies. Here we go.
People of the world,
Dave TV, la primer radiotransmisión gráfica completamente internacional. Dave TV, solo lo hacemos porque te queremos. Dave TV. Welcome to Dave TV, the first completely international graphic radio transmission.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733, baby. You know what's in the background there. Play the mayor one time.
I talked to the police commissioner this morning. There are no specific threats to the city. I think when you see something like this, people's antennas are up, including the people that are responsible for security.
I'm responsible for house security. Roth Radio, New York, Philly, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach, 866-313-3733. Do you have actually the Bin Laden thing there? Put his on there. Go ahead, take a listen. Wait a second. Turn him off. Leave the track there. Did he do that in this studio? You can't understand a syllable of what he's saying. The microphone is squeezing. It sounds like the cord is loose. The compressor is f***ing off. Who put this together? Infinity Broadcasting? What is? Play it again there, white boy. Let me hear that. That's more likely to cause a jihad than anything else, man. Come on. Did he just say Tom Gisano? That's Arabic for CBS. He's making all the same complaints I am. You know what? If I didn't know better, I'd say this microphone smells a little bit like curry, man.
Come on.
That's what he's saying. I'd like a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, and I want a light coffee.
Those guys don't drink light coffee. Are you kidding? You think anything grows out of the dirt? People live on coffee. That's how we learn to do it here. I just had read an article about coffee. We're going to go for that later. But broadcasting, Roth Radio, ruining it for everyone else. Charlotte, North Carolina to London, from Kansas City to Phuket, Thailand. What do you think Phuket means in English?
I loved the first time I saw that word, because for us, the it's PH my, is an F.
And it's like, it's like,
can't be what it's called.
A desperate mispronunciation. I think it's history for all the wrong reasons. Sebring, Florida to Norway. Wow. That's a fair sweep. If you could throw a ball that far, you'd have a career, huh? 866-313-3733. You think this is Bin Laden?
They're claiming that it is. And
how do they know?
I don't know. They have these voice detection things at the FBI and stuff. But they are saying that it's him. What's funny to me is that it was recorded in December, so apparently he's on the same time delay as the Olympics.
It is kind of the Olympics. War is the world's favorite sport, is it not? We happen to be one of the best, but arguably, yeah. War is the world's favorite sport. Think of it like that. I know people are horrified. No, nobody gets killed in sports. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, whatever.
Whatever.
Like like one of my new gurus would say. Are you on heightened alert now, currently? Animal, are you on heightened alert?
Always on heightened alert for you, Dave.
That sounded so wrong.
I meant D-O.
Look at her. Look at her when you say that. Because Robin, I'm on heightened alert. Knock it off, you slut.
I will say I'm glad I'm leaving the city today.
Really? You think that
this
they're
stuff scares me to death.
Yeah, but you live out in earthquake territory. Like,
I'd rather go in an earthquake than have a plane fly into my building.
I don't think that a plane's going to fly into any buildings here anytime soon, but I'm not fooled. I'm not fooled by, oh, we're safe because they respect our good taste and our capacity to mix the right beer with the right sporting event.
I was fine until you brought it up the other day that you and six frogmen can take the city down in a weekend. And I started thinking about it, and you and I have that tendency to go to those places, and it's like, oh God, I gotta get out of here.
Well, it's a truism. That's not out of line. If you paid attention, if you're properly trained, if you're qualled up, it's called, if you know you have the skills and you have the individuals who also have those skills, what they took was a bunch of nobodies who really didn't know anything and taught them how to vaguely commandeer a jet plane, or a pilot was involved. But as compared to the way the American military qualls up its soldiers, its guys and gals, no comparison. And you had brought up earlier, well, what about the martyr bombers, those who would sacrifice their life? Oh, don't fool yourself. We have a lot of people just like that who properly motivated, and if something happens terrible again, that's a proper motivation, who would very, very, not easily, like Samurai says, you would wager your life. Don't seek to protect your life. That's how you most assure you're winning. But don't just squander it on a cheap fight. You train your whole life there. But there are a lot of people, you've seen every submarine movie, like the last Bon Jovi submarine movie, when they told the kid, you know, you got to swim to the bottom and turn the valve into, you're probably not coming back, kid, right? And he goes. I'm making a little humor, but it's a real issue here. And just all you have to do is read the Village Voice. Okay, here's where the water mains are, because they're talking about these are old, these need to be replaced, etc., etc. Oh, and here's where how many tons of raw sewage are dumped into the Hudson. I was just reading in the Voice recently. Okay, well, just plug that up. Turn it into a human Petri dish. You follow?
Well, that's what I don't understand about the media. Why is all this stuff out there? We might as well just tell them where, you know, which mat we're hiding the key to the White House under.
I have an issue with that as well.
I think that's nuts.
I'm going to agree with you. And everything that I've just reiterated came right flat off the printed page. I don't have any particular access. I know what the capacities of perhaps the police and military is a little bit better than the average guy, but very little. Okay, it just comes from a lot of contact, but I'm just, what I see in the pages says this could be done if you had somebody who was selectively skilled, selectively trained, and properly motivated. There's an old Vietnamese saying that says two properly motivated mosquitoes can drive a water buffalo to kill itself. If you think about it in those terms, then yeah, it's not so much because we're so good at security. I think it's because, yeah, we're great at security, but they're not good enough yet. So, yeah, there is an issue as far as heightened alert. Another question is, how come he's offering a truce? What does it mean, animal, when somebody makes a threat and then offers to make a truce with you right away?
Well, basically, they done ran out of resources and all that kind of stuff to attack, I guess. But I was hearing lately that they have a new weapon, and it's called martyr women now. The beautiful women just walk in, play up to the soldiers, and blow them up.
Okay, you're talking about suicide bombers. Yeah. But what I'm saying is when he comes and makes a threat, and also in the other hand, there's an offer of truce. Is our military presence there starting to have an impact? When does somebody ask for truce, or is that another threat?
Well, he's also, you know, this big brave guy. He's been hiding in a cave for how many years now? You know, he's in some cave where in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but that's traditional, kiddo. Come on.
Oh, I understand, but I'm starting to think he's got to be getting bored. You know, that what's he doing? He's like probably playing solitaire, or he's doing crossword puzzles or something.
No, you're right.
You know, and
somebody like that needs the audience.
And you could just hear it now, you know, like, do you know a four-letter word for woman that ends in U-N-T?
What is that?
And the guy, you know, his buddy will say, aunt? And then Osama will say, have you gotten an Issa?
Let's listen to what he speaks again. This is fascinating to me. This is a fella who speaks to an entire nation. He is an orator. He is. Okay, you're going to call me crazy. Some people do. You know, in the hunt for Red October, when the guy first captures the sound of the Russian submarine and it's real slow. And he goes, you don't recognize this now, but let me speed it up 10 times. And he speeds it up, and it sounds like a Russian submarine. And they go, wow, that sound can only be man-made. All right, take a listen again. This is slowed down. Take a listen to this. Play it back there. Go ahead. If you speed that up, give me a little track here. If you speed that up, call me crazy. Ladies with an attitude, people Betty Davis in the mood, Vogue. Vogue. No? You never see them in the same room together. Okay, Roth Radio, ruining it for Robin. Her face doesn't look like I ruined it.
I do always wonder what he's saying. And to me, he's always saying, like, you know, get me a copy of that Million Little Pieces book. And I need some more crackers.
To me, it sounds like, ladies with an attitude, Betty Davis in the mood, Vogue. Don't go away, we're going to Vogue. 866-313-373.
Bienvenido a Dave TV, la primer radiotransmisión gráfica completamente internacional. Dave TV, solo lo hacemos porque te queremos. Dave TV. Welcome to Dave TV, the first completely international graphic radio transmission.
I battled the man-starved nymphos of Hussein's harem. Don't go away, more about that after this. The skin dolls who trapped the SEAL team's ace master spy. That's right, me, Roth Radio. Sharing it with all of you. You didn't know that about me, did you?
No, I didn't. Oh,
I have a secret past, don't I? They dropped me in. I'm a weapon of mass destruction, baby. Oh, I am.
I bet you have webbed feet, too.
Do you? That's right. We're talking about 866-313-3733. Give us the Bloomberg overlay there. Let's hear what he's got to say. Go ahead. This is Mayor Mike.
You have a truce from terrorists who've killed people. They've kidnapped people. Terrorists can stop committing terrorist acts. and then maybe you talk.
All right, now, here comes the orator of an entire movement. Do you have the Hussein loop? Can you put that up there? Hutch is running around like a BB inside. Whose phone was that? Like a thought inside of Paris Hilton's brain pan. Right? Ladies with an attitude. Betty's Davis in the mood. Vogue. Roth Radio. Call us. Tell us what you think about this. Let's just start right from the top. Number nine. On it. That's a great name. Is that a real name? You're on Roth Radio. Talk to me, On It. Are you there?
Oh, man.
What kind of name is On It? That's a great name.
It's my father's name spelled backwards.
That's not backwards spelled that way.
Yeah.
Bad joke. But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Basically, I think what he's trying to do is put us at ease. You know, he'll put himself in a position of strength by stating, oh, I'm threatening you, and then say, but I want to offer you a truce, you know. And then he's trying to, you know, basically make us think, well, you know, maybe he's, you know, done, or he's trying to cool things off, and then when we least suspect it, boom, he hits us again.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the basic tenet of all combat is deception, and that that is what he's practicing, that war, in his mind, is an advanced state of negotiation. Do you think war is a disintegration of all reason, or do you think it's an advanced state of negotiation?
Well, I mean, the mentality and when being put into war is all about deceptive practices and how you can disarm your enemy basically to put yourself in a position of power, strength over them.
We learned these kinds of tactics as children from games like baseball. What's more larcenous than the curveball? Who's more popular than the guy who knows how to best steal a base? The fakey pass, the Statue of Liberty play. Hey, there's a good name for the biggest deception in football. Robin, what do you think?
I don't really see how that relates to war.
Well, these are the basic tenets of war. War isn't that you line up across from each other like in Civil War anymore, mm-hmm. or, you know, the Revolutionary War, where everybody, you know, stands across from each other and marches towards each other.
Right, like Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. War now is the way that the ancient Asians always cast it. You hear about Sun Tzu or the Book of Five Rings or the Art of War, and that they maintain, as do most governments today, that war is based on deception. Boxing is based on deception. Yeah, you have the knockout punch, but how do you set it up? The fakey. You'd put out the punch, the you know, the jab, right? Everybody knows that. Come on, I live here in New York City now. I was down on the corner of Broadway and whatever. There were two winos. They were getting ready to fight, and they were jabbing.
So in a way, it's even like poker would be that way.
Absolutely.
In that it's not really a game of winning as much as game of bluffing.
Exactly. That's why football, European football, soccer, is so much more connected to world politics than gridiron football. I grew up with gridiron football, NFL, Super Bowl, you bet. Love it. That's Civil War era kind of strategy. Two teams line up in front of each other and attempt to overpower each other and then access some kind of strategy. Soccer is a constantly shifting game of strategies, changes. That's north now. Now that's north. This is here, over there. And it happens in 15 different places on a huge field. That's more the way war is waged today. And people still think of it in terms of like Napoleon. My army's bigger, I will win. We learned the difference about that in Vietnam. Do you agree?
I do agree. And do you think it's significant that that Bin Laden sends a tape out once a year or so, and everything that we, you know, all of our strategies are in the newspaper and on TV all the time? Do you think that that's part of his strategy to just show up like a bad date where he calls you once a year, you know? Like
yeah.
A bad old sex buddy.
Well, it's more...
Oh, hey, I just thought I'd get in touch. But seriously, he hasn't put out anything... I think it's over a year or just about a year.
Sure.
So that's strategy.
Oh, I believe so. It's more
the less
like,
is more thing.
It's like the Ghost of Christmas Past. You only see that on TV once a year, you know? It goes out. Oh. No, it's the Ghost of Christmas Future is the scary one. Right? That's a terror tactic. Soldiers, armies barter in two different things: fear and the ultimate end. As in, Elvis is going to leave the building a lot quicker than you think if the fear doesn't work. We peddle fear. please do this or we're going to have to fight. And then if we fight, you will lose in the worst way. I don't think it's in terms of destroying the country. You want to destroy the enemy's will to continue. And I think there's a big difference.
But how do you fight against a nation that's not afraid to die? And that's what fascinates me about this war is that
that's what I would share with them. Because we have those people. Oh, you better believe we have those people. It's all about what is it that you're fighting for here. And the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love, I'm convinced, is jealousy. People who are fighting here to destroy whatever America stands for, or England or Germany or any number of these kinds of countries. Hey, you see the tennis shoes animals wearing? You see what's on your television? Do you have a flat screen TV? Do you want to worship? Whatever it is. I don't care if you want to worship like I do at the feet of Paris Hilton in pursuit of Buddhist illumination. Or do you want to be a Catholic? You want a bat mitzvah? You can do that here. You want to be out of line? Talk like me? You want to talk like Howard Stern? There's a pretty far-reaching spectrum. Both of us can have a job in America. And if you've been out into the interior, out into the territory, like Mark Twain called it.
The hinterland that is Peoria.
Yeah. Well, Peoria, outside the actual town itself, is right out of a painting. The great South, Texas that we're talking to, etc. It's a pretty diverse country. It's a little bit different than the patches of sand where there's not a lot to do, like you expressed earlier. You said it funny. But yeah, he's sitting in a cave playing Go Fish with half a card deck. And everybody knows what's happening on the internet here. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is jealousy.
So you really think he's jealous of what we have and that it's not a religious thing in that he... That's what always confuses me. Does he not want us or anybody to have it, or do they want what we have?
Any fundamentalist idea, whether it comes from the religious right, the super conservative religious right in America, or the super extremist Islamic fundamentalists, or any other kind of fundamentalist. Have you noticed? It's always a guy. And it's always one guy who has a number of gals, and it's always the idea that no matter what you think, it's wrong. And once I've determined that you are wrong, ooh, I can rationalize just about anything. Look out, here comes my joint-directed attack munition.
So you're saying it's a cult thing, like Manson or something like that?
No.
Or David Koresh, where they...
No, I'm saying it's the same thing that motivates the border. Why do we have so many immigrants coming up from South America and Mexico? Those tennis shoes, that flat screen TV. I want a computer, and I want my kids to learn really, really well, like all the way up to college level, and so I'm probably going to need 3 computers. And I'm going to find that in America the best, probably. I may find it in England, but I guarantee you, you'll be able to locate that. If you're motivated, come on, you saw Scarface.
Mm-hmm.
If you're motivated, man, you can find your way here. And that is the jealousy element that I'm talking about, okay? It's not just religion. It's not just politics. The idea that I observe the wrong religion, well, yes, your religion is MTV. Your religion is Nike tennis shoes. Your religion is a foolish religion that focuses on material items. Yeah? Whatever. Don't go away. This is going to be a long war. 866-313-3733. Get out of the way!